Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Newmark Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to take a moment to share. I feel it's time to share. Sit or stand, whatever you feel comfortable with. We will dive back deep in a moment. I feel. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Feel that it's important for me to share that I am no professional at moving with the King of Glory, but I do hope to be a little sail in his wind. Sometimes people get up on stage and they're just doing their very best to get out of the way enough and in the way to catch the train of Israel. We just want to get out of the way enough that he can move, but in the way enough that we jump on. That's all I'm trying to do. Let him move as fast or as slow as he wants, but in the way enough that I'm along for the ride. See, too much we have ascribed the move of the Spirit to one person. But the Lord sometimes will grant favor for one to catalyze many, as he is doing with your leaders and as he's doing with many of you. But I must confess, I'm a hairdresser from South Africa originally, with no doctorate in theology, but with a deep heart that longs for God. And 15 years ago, I made a trek across the world with two suitcases and all of my savings, because I heard that there was a church that believed in the God of the Bible, that was pursuing signs, wonders, and miracles, and they had a river flowing through their sanctuary. And I thought I'd be there for 9 months, and my mom was crying at the airport, and my mom doesn't cry very much. And she told me later that the Lord said that I was her Samuel, and that she was to give me to the fathers, to the priests of that house. And 9 months has turned to 15 years, a husband and three children later. But even while I was on staff at Bethel Church, where a river is flowing of God like it is flowing here, there was still a measure of myself that I thought I needed to be awesome for God for him to be awesome for me. Humans like to earn. It makes sense to us. It makes sense when we're punished for doing bad things and when we get rewarded for doing good things. That's why all man-made religion is written like that. But God-made religion finds us in our weakness. A religion where God breathes, God creates, God empowers, speaks of a different story. Not where one figurehead represents God, but all creation bears his image. And 3 years ago, in the midst of my striving and trying and wrestling with the fear of man that had been robbing from my life, I got gripped by the Holy Spirit. And for 6 weeks, I shook violently under the power of God, and I had no clue what was happening to me. For 6 weeks, I shook in the church, I shook in my bed, I shook in the broccoli section of a grocery store. I say the broccoli section because I remember looking at the broccoli and thinking, I wonder what people think right now. But in this wild outpouring of the Holy Spirit, as he freed me from the fear of man, I remember saying, no matter if it's in the broccoli section, at the park with my kids, or in the church in front of my dignified leaders, that I will never resist him again. Because the shaking that I experienced wasn't just wild and violent, it was the greatest avalanche of love and presence of the most powerful, wonderful, compassionate, merciful, fiery God that I had ever experienced in my life. And what set me free from the fear of man was not a sword, but the abundance of his presence. Wow. I was literally overloaded by God and had to unload that which got in the way. If you could imagine just some dirty water and then a flood of clean water, that dirt has no chance. But yet he didn't see me as filthy. He saw me as a living sacrifice. In John 20, 22, Jesus comes to visit his disciples. He has been crucified on the cross. They think it's the end. Mary finds an empty tomb. Amen. You can give me some amen, so I know you're with me. You with me? Yeah. Amen. Okay. This is a participation. Yeah. I teach a message in our school about evaluation versus participation. We don't want to evaluate the presence, we want to participate. I once found myself as an evaluator, as a worship leader, hiding behind the sound booth at Bethel Church. There was a wild revivalist playing a fiddle on the stage. And his wife was making sounds that I thought could never be the Lord. And with my arms folded, wearing black, matching the sound booth, because usually worship leaders wear black. It's probably because we sweat, actually, but anyway. My arms folded in the back of the room, I said, "No ways, God, can you be there? Because this is too wild." And the Lord said, "Is this why you flew across the world? To stand at the back and evaluate?" And I said, surely you are not there, Lord. Surely, because you see, I came from a Methodist church. I flew across the world from wooden pews and liturgical books, which I actually still love and go back home to go speak and teach. I'm grateful for the foundation. My Methodist church taught me to love God, to devote myself to the Lord. They raised me and spoke into my life. They just didn't quite teach me about this wild man with a fiddle. Talking about being a lambkin, shouting, "I'm a lambkin, I'm a lambkin." I didn't even know what that was. Apparently it's a child of a lamb, a baby lamb, even smaller than a lamb. And as the Lord said, "Is this what you emptied your bank account for, to stand at the back here?" And I said, "Surely you cannot be there." He said, "Will you tell me where I can and can't be?" It's quite strong with me, that Jesus. And I knew in that moment. I want to tell you, my heart wasn't soft. I wasn't hungry. I was attaching my faith to the voice of the Lord. It says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so I marched down the aisle to the front of the Bethel sanctuary. And in all honesty, I had no faith other than to just stand in the middle of these crazy people that I thought God would not be anointing. I stood like this. But that was the amount of faith I had. I didn't have a lot of money to buy that day. And God met me there. My father, mathematician, professor of mathematics, absolute genius, comes to Bethel Church. Kind of feels like some of these people lying on the floor, crying and laughing and shaking. He literally said, "Isn't that a bit intimate for the public? Shouldn't people do that at home?" I said, "Sorry, Dad." Turns out it was two of my leaders. But God met my dad, not in the way that I wanted him to meet him, but the way that my dad needed to be met. 5 days later, my father was sitting in one of our services, and the Holy Spirit starts downloading mathematical proof theorems to his brain. For the next 5 days, my dad is waking up at 5 a.m, writing down mathematical equations he could not prove before. My mother, crying the day before she came to visit my school. "What do you expect of me? I don't know what you want of me. I love God, but I don't know how I feel about all of this. I don't know. What do you want? How do I participate?" And I said, "Mom, just sit in the back. Just watch. I just want you to see." 3 hours later, I can't find my mother, but there's someone making weird, groaning, birthing sounds at the front of the room. And then I was embarrassed. "Mom, you know, get it together." for the next week, my mom was woken up at 5 a.m, same as my father, 5 a.m, getting touched by the presence of God. My mom's looked like groaning and shaking. My dad's looked like mathematical equations. I want to tell you, I'm not prescribing how God comes. All I'm saying is do not resist Him. In John 20, 22, Jesus has crucified our sin. Oh, He has nailed it to the cross. Whew. He nailed it to the cross of Calvary. Everything that would separate you from the love of God was nailed through His hands, through His feet. And then His side is pierced, and from His side blood and water flows. And just as the Lord had taken a rib out of Adam, so now He pierces the second Adam, and the bride is born out of His side as Eve was born out of Adam's. God births the bride of Christ in this moment. And then Jesus is laid in the tomb and He resurrects. And when He meets His disciples here in John 20, 22, we're going to start at 20 actually. So He comes in the room and He says, "Peace be with you." When He had said this, He shows them His hands and His sides. And then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." I want you to imagine this moment. Jesus could have identified Himself by anything. He could have told His disciples the story of breaking bread in John 13. He could have talked to them about calming the wind and the waves. He could have talked to them about multiplying bread, or the parables in Matthew 25 of the virgins and of the talents. He could have showed them anything, but He showed them their victory. He showed them their authority. The pierced hands of Jesus were the sign that it was finished. Listen to me, church. Many of the church lives in an understanding that we are saved, but they do not know they are empowered. The cross of Jesus didn't just set the record straight for humanity. The cross of Jesus went further than that. The cross of Jesus restored mankind to the original intention, which was to bear the image of God in how they behaved, and to subdue the earth, and to multiply, and to take what God had given them and make it more. This is how we bear the image of God. And Jesus says, "Look, I've restored you. Look here, I've restored you. And look, I'm about to birth the church. And I'm not birthing the church with a story. I am birthing it with a demonstration of power." Those holes weren't just what was nailed to the cross, but those holes were a demonstration that nothing can hold me down. No grave, no sin, no death, no political force, no scandal, no lie. Nothing can hold me down. And then He releases the power of the one that will carry us. In Genesis 28, 19, Jacob is fleeing his brother Esau, and he falls asleep in the desert on a rock, and he has a vision. He has a dream of angels ascending and descending on a ladder. And when Jacob wakes up, he says, "This is none other than the house of God, the gate of heaven." And he pours oil out on the rock as a prophetic sign of 1 Peter 2:9. "Now these are living stones built up upon the cornerstone as a house to hold and host His glory." What am I saying to you? What I'm saying is that when the Spirit of God is poured out upon you like oil, you do not remain yourself, but you become a house of God, a gate of heaven, bearing the wounds of authority and the evidence that you have not been birthed by your mother, but you have been birthed anew. You have been born again as a new creation, carrying not just meager weapons to come against assignments and assaults, but hidden in Christ, seated in heavenly places, carrying all authority in heaven and on earth. I look pretty loud and pretty intense, hey. You know, I used to spend all of my messages apologizing for myself, because when God comes on me, I become ferocious. But if you meet me in real life, I'm quite quirky and funny and actually very sensitive and cry so easily. And I used to be so afraid of what people would think of me. Why? Because the enemy is terrified of a bride that is provoked with the power of God. There is a world out there that are dying in their sin. They are dying in loneliness, in insecurity, thinking that their truth is going to become their freedom. There is a world out there that doesn't know how to have healthy marriages, that doesn't know, they're thinking that they need to love themselves when there's a God that loves them so much more abundantly. Some of you in this room think that self-love is the answer to your freedom, but I want to tell you there is no love like God's love. A new commandment he gave, that we wouldn't love as we love ourselves, but that we would love as we have been loved by him. What the Lord is doing here is he is pouring out the oil of anointing on living stones. The oil of the person of the Holy Spirit. In this encounter that I had in 6 weeks, a great grief came over my heart. As I began to realize that I cried out for God to fill a room when he wanted to fill me. That for 10 years as a leader, I'd been inviting the Lord to come and fill a corporate room, but he wanted to make it personal first. I think by accident, I treated the Holy Spirit as an additive to ministry, as the extra that he was coming sometimes, and if he didn't, maybe it just didn't happen that day. That he was my sidekick. That when I prophesied, if I prophesied over JJ, that JJ was experiencing incredible benefit from this prophetic gift. Meanwhile, the King of Glory was talking to me. Oh, that I lost the wonder of hearing his voice. That he would tell the secrets of JJ's heart to me. Who am I? But I am his. I want to pray for you today. I want to pray for you because I believe that the Lord wants to catalyze you with the oil of his Spirit. But the Spirit is not a thing or an it. He is a person, and he is sensitive. He longs to be wanted, not because he's insecure, but because he's confined in the covenant of love, and love does not control. And so our longing begins to invite him to come. Would you stand with me, church? I feel like a fire hose of God today. Usually what he wants to do, it just possesses me, and then I felt like a fire hose today. If you drink from a garden hose, it's easy. A fire hose is really hard to drink from. It usually is just there to accomplish something fast and big. And I feel like the Lord in this season, the next 3 months, he's going to be excavating capacity for you to carry more. I feel like he is enlarging tent pegs and he is increasing your capacity to carry more. And church, this isn't just for your leaders. This is what I'm trying to really grab a hold of today. It's not about your leaders getting it. There have been so many moments in my life where I've had a frustration and I've thought, why are my leaders not doing this? Why are my leaders? And the Lord said, if you have the frustration, maybe it's your invitation. I began to realize God is giving me something to own. I don't need a microphone to own it. I just need to grab a hold and begin to release it to anybody that wants to hear. In the grocery store, I preach to my husband all the time, the poor man, because I got to get it out. And this is going to be my prayer today. I want to pray that you become provoked. Or uncomfortably provoked. I really do. I want you to become uncomfortably provoked by God, that you have nowhere else to look but to him. And he's going to pour himself out. I believe of the next 3 months will be an excavation of space. And then the 3 months following that will become this outpouring of increase. You're going to be experiencing a sustained increase. But all of a sudden in 3 months, there's going to be a tipping of bowls. And those bowls are going to begin to pour out because the container is going to be ready to receive. So would you put your hands out in front of you right now? If you want this, I want you to receive. If you are still learning about this, you can take your time. That is okay. There is no shame in this place. If you have no clue how to get it, just put your hands out in front of you and say, God, I am available. We receive the outpouring of the Spirit, not by striving, but by surrender, by laying down. When the boy brought his 5 loaves and 2 fish, yes, it was small, but he did bring everything. It was everything. And so right now, before I pray, I actually want you to tell the Lord what you're bringing to him. I want this to be personal, not just a moment responding to a message, but for you to respond to what the Lord is asking you to bring. So ask him, God, what do you want me to bring today? Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's your job. Maybe you're afraid to witness in your workplace. Maybe it's your marriage. Oh, God is restoring marriages in this room today. I can feel it. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.